grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Luke chapter 22, verses 47 and 48. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, nobody likes a traitor. One of the better known examples of a traitor is Benedict Arnold. He was an American military officer who defected to the British. There is nothing so vile and disgusting as one who is a traitor to his own country. Words fail to describe the depth of depravity to which a man must stoop when he betrays his country, which gives him a livelihood, protection and freedom. Against such betrayal of one's country is nothing compared with that which is related in our text, which tells us that a disciple betrayed his master, and yes, his God. Our theme for today is Judas, the betrayer of the Saviour. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, a brief overview of the text. Judas had left the Passover meal after receiving from Jesus a piece of bread dipped in the dish. The evangelist John notes, and it was night. The darkness is broken only by the shining of the Passover moon as Judas leads a crowd of priests, temple officers and elders along the road to the place where Jesus is praying. Judas had given a sign by which Jesus could be recognised. He would greet Jesus with a kiss. Jesus' question to Judas caused attention to the hypocrisy of his act. This was the last time the 12 were together. What a tragic moment. Judas exposed himself as a traitor, and the 11 deserted their Lord. The Sanhedrin had sent armed troops of temple guards and Roman legionaries together with some of their own members to arrest Jesus. If there was resistance, they wanted to make it impossible for Jesus to evade them, as he had so often done before. Since it was night, Judas agreed to identify Jesus by kissing him. This was the way a disciple normally greeted his master. Perhaps Judas hoped to disguise his treachery. How evil a heart becomes when it allows Satan to take over. Jesus, however, was in full control. The entire force, including Judas, fell to the ground when Jesus told them he was the one for whom they had come. Jesus' last words to Judas were one last plea that he might repent. But Judas had already exposed his heart when he had simply called Jesus Rabbi, that is teacher, instead of Lord. The armed mob then arrested Jesus, but only after it had been fully exposed as helpless. Jesus reminded them that he had been in their midst daily in the temple courts, and that they had not raised a hand to apprehend him. And even now, they would not be able to do so, except that the scriptures had to be fulfilled. It came as no surprise to Jesus when Judas arrived in the Garden of Gethsemane with an armband to take him into custody, although this may have been the first time it dawned on the 11 why Judas had not rejoined them in the upper room. But they were just waking up from a doze when Judas arrived, so it may have taken them a while to put the two coherent thoughts together. We get the impression that maybe Judas hoped to pull off his plan without the 11 ever realising what had happened. He knew that Jesus knew what was going on, but in the upper room, Jesus had acted as though he was willing to keep it between the two of them. Was Judas hoping Jesus would somehow miraculously escape? Maybe he even thought that he could defraud Jesus' enemies and in the process give Jesus another chance to demonstrate his almighty power. Was Judas trying to play both sides against the middle? The signal he arranged would fit with that scenario. Whomever I kiss, he is the one, sees him. John chapter 18, verses 4 to 6 tell us that Jesus went out to meet the mob and identified himself to them. So it was not really necessary for Judas to go through with his plan, but he did it anyway. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and without waiting for a response from Jesus, he kissed him. The Greek word says he covered him with kisses. Judas must have been extremely agitated. Although Judas was trying to act as if everything was still as it had previously been, he overdid it. Maybe he hoped that this exaggerated display of affection would make it look like he was overjoyed to see Jesus. Perhaps it was also designed as a diversionary tactic to buy a little time for the guards to approach Jesus and arrest him. The treachery of Judas knew no bounds. He used an expression of friendship to betray his trusted friend. So secondly, the great sin of Judas against the Saviour. Our text begins, "And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him." Jesus had sealed himself by prayer for the events which were to take place in quick succession during that very night. Returning from his prayers to his sleeping and indifferent disciples, Jesus admonishes them to watch and pray that they may not enter into temptation. And then we are told, while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude came. There were soldiers commissioned by the Roman government who were now in the control of the high priests. There were scribes, Pharisees and the elders of the people. At their hill marched the worst scoundrel ever born, the traitor. Who was he? Judas Iscariot. He was a Judean, a man from Kerioth. He was one of the twelve. He was a disciple chosen by Jesus and as an apostle, one who with the others had confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He was one who had forsaken everything for Jesus' sake. Like the other disciples, he saw Christ perform many miracles. But Judas was a covetous man. We read in John chapter 12, verses 4 to 6. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. With a desire for money, Satan had entered his heart and soon dominated it. Sin was not isolated in the heart of Judas. Covetousness led to hypocrisy. It led him into bad company. He became a thief, but that is not the worst. What did he do? He betrayed his Lord and Master, his Saviour, for the paltry sum of 30 pieces of silver. By betraying Jesus, Judas knowingly and willfully rejected Christ, the Son of God. That Jesus was the Son of God, of there could be no doubt in the heart of Judas, for he betrayed him at the very moment when Jesus shone forth in divine majesty, smiting the mob to the ground with the omnipotent words, "I am he." Judas betrayed Jesus after he had tasted the love of Jesus. He had been a true disciple of Christ. Otherwise Christ would have never have chosen him as an apostle. He had borne the testimony of Christ and for Christ. Christ had dwelt in the heart of Judas. But in betraying Christ, Judas cast Jesus out violently, not in ignorance, but willfully. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, the token of friendship and love, thus being abused. The kiss was a customary expression of mingled affection and reverence on the part of the disciples when they met their master. Was there ever a love token so desecrated and abused? Oh, the depth in which Judas had fallen. So let us apply this lesson to ourselves. We condemn Judas for his treachery, and rightly so. But remember that many a disciple of Christ, many a Christian, who has tasted the love and grace of Jesus, has betrayed him sold him for the shekels of worldly lust and pleasure, and traded Jesus for filthy gain. Worldly mindedness, membership in anti-Christian societies are all aspects of betraying Jesus. Have you pressed the kiss of Judas upon those blessed lips of the Saviour in any way? If you have, it is not yet too late, for look at the love of the Saviour for Judas. So thirdly, the great love of the Saviour to Judas. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas means confessor, the praiser of God. Now Jesus says, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus knew the purpose of Judas coming that night. He had not told his disciples, had he not told one of his disciples that one of them would betray him? We read in Matthew chapter 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. So Jesus pointed out Judas as his betrayer. Yet Jesus made no attempt to escape. He rather suffered such betrayal. And why? It was his great love for sinful man. Jesus, like the second Joseph, who like Joseph of old, was betrayed and sold to save his brethren. Jesus also proves his great love for Judas. He calls him by name. What love and compassion is revealed in this address of Judas. And the phrase, are you betraying the Son of Man, is to remind Judas that Jesus has left the throne of his majesty, that he is God of God, the only begotten of the Father, made man, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. This is the work which Jesus has just now undertaken. The Son of Man, who came to save that which was lost, also came to save Judas. This Son of Man, this Saviour, offers mercy to his traitor. What love! Jesus had warned Judas before. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 24, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. But that had been of no avail. Now the deed was done, and yet Jesus assures Judas that even now there is forgiveness for him. But alas, Judas did not accept the grace that was offered to him. He hurled himself, body and soul, into hell. So let us apply this lesson to ourselves. As Jesus loved Judas, so he loves all sinners. Even now Jesus is the Son of Man, he has come to save. If you have betrayed him, despair not. He assures you of his forgiveness in the gospel. We read of the words in John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we read that very familiar text in John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And even in the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So let us conclude with the words of Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. May God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.